In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Blessed feast. As we should say, pre-feast. We're getting ready, brothers and sisters. You know, in the Orthodox Church, we prepare and fulfill. And we prepare to prepare. So we've had these glorious 12 days of Christmas. And of course, in the ancient church, the Feast of Theophany was the crescendo, was actually the main part, this Epiphany, which we're celebrating tonight and really tomorrow. And now we have the first fasting day today. Today's the first fasting day. This is the longest non-fasting period in the whole year, the church. All from Christmas until yesterday, we've been feasting. And today, why do we fast? Because we're getting ready for the awesome feast of the Lord's Theophany. We begin it today with the first water blessing, but we're fasting because we're preparing our hearts. After the liturgy today and a very short fasting fellowship, we're going to come right back upstairs and do the great Vespers for the Feast of Theophany. To let you know, in the ancient church, the Feast of Theophany was second only to Pascha. So it's sad sometimes in America when it's not on people's radar, Orthodox Christians, because you can be sure if you go to Russia, you go to Greece, you go to Romania, Bulgaria, anywhere, it doesn't matter if it's a Monday, Thursday, or the church is full on Theophany tomorrow. You'll be sure it's a work day, everything, but it's everyone is there to draw the holy water, to be there for the feast. So I hope as many of us as possible can attend and not just say, well, I got the holy water today. As much as we can, enter into this feast. So what's the focus of this feast? What are we talked a lot about nativity. So what's the focus? The focus we know is, we know the story. The Lord comes to be baptized in the Jordan by John to renew all of creation. I think Christmas makes sense to people. I think people kind of, or at least start to understand the magnitude of God's humility. What's happening? Theophany, also called Epiphany, often not. So the main focus, it's called Epiphany, and Epiphania, it means a revelation of something. What is that revelation? That Christ, as a man, comes to be baptized in the River Jordan. They call it in Russian, Krishtianya. It means the feast of the baptism. But it means more than that. It's a theophania in Greek. It's a revelation of God. Theos, phanos. God is revealing himself in some way. And what's shown? That Jesus isn't just some man. He's the Son of God. And the Holy Trinity is revealed in the baptism. He says, the Father, the voice of the Father, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And the Holy Spirit descends in the likeness of a dove. So God is revealing, really for the first time to his creation, a small picture of who he is. The meaning of the feast of Christmas, the fathers say, is fulfilled at Theophany now. For now it's made clear that the one who was born in Bethlehem isn't just some human infant or a prophet. He's God. God himself incarnate. Come not just to give a nice message or to smile and coo like the gentle, mild infant that our sentimental society often attributes to Christ. No. This baby became a man, the God-man, the Theanthropos, not to just give us rules and to be nice, to teach us, to restore. He restores all of fallen nature, to renew the entire creation by uniting humanity, fallen humanity, us, with divinity, him. So as the Son of God entered the world at his birth, he now enters, imagine, he enters this flowing water for what reason? He didn't need to get baptized. He's God. To sanctify all of creation. To make it holy. To make it good again. Because with the fall of Adam and Eve, all of mankind, human beings, animals, trees, plants, the whole creation fell because of that first rebellion. You know, St. Paul says that in Romans, all of creation is groaning in travail. It's has birth pangs. Why? He says, because it will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious freedom of the children of God. That's the quote of St. Paul. That's what Christ came to do. The good news, the gospel, is the Creator has become part of us. He's not somewhere else distant, far away. Part of the creation to make it, as the scriptures say, a new heaven and into a new earth. We see at Theophany that nothing is intrinsically bad. Nothing is deeply in itself profane or cut off from God or from the blessing of God. This is what's beautiful about Orthodox ancient Christianity. All things physical, spiritual, visible, invisible are called to participate in the Lord, the life of the Lord. And he sanctifies all of it, not just spiritual stuff. Physical things have spiritual properties. The Lord comes to sanctify all creation. What else does it talk about? The Father say, Christ's baptism demonstrates that we, thank God, we as the crown of creation, isn't just sanctify water. He cares about the trees, the animals, the plants, but he cares about us the most. God didn't become a dog or a tree. He became a human being to show how exalted it is to be a human being. And that water is sanctified for us. What does St. Paul say? What do we sing? As many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You hear it a lot in this church, thank God. Lots of baptisms. In baptism, what's happening there? Not just washing away the icky stuff or the sins. That's true. But a lot more. We receive, the Father says, this garment of light. That baptismal garment that's white. Why do we do that? It's that light that Adam and Eve lost when they distorted themselves and they became subject to death. What is God, the baby Jesus, who is now a full-grown man, the beginning of his ministry in Theophany? He comes to do what? Right? In his incarnation, he sanctified our flesh. He was born in Bethlehem. No one knew about him. Bethlehem means city of bread. That's what it means. That he's the only flesh. He took on flesh to give us his flesh. And now at his baptism, he sanctifies the water. Why? Because that's the way he calls us. That's the way he renews us. And that fallen image and likeness Adam and Eve had when they walked and talked with God, it's restored. He restores our dignity as human beings, as kings and son of Adam, daughter of Eve. He restores that dignity in his holy theophany. We're going to bless the water today, the first blessing of waters at the end of the liturgy today. What are we doing? Just doing some nice little rite? No. We are literally participating in the Lord's healing, not just of us, of all reality. That's the saints say, all of reality. Holy water is the sign that every dimension of creation is to be sanctified. Everything is to become holy by God's original purpose for it. It's still good, and he makes it good again. But who are we kidding? We pollute things. We sin a lot. And even though we pollute it, and even though this water that we bless is sometimes our enemies in hurricanes and storms and tidal waves, God didn't make it this way. Our sin does. God created water to sustain us, not just biological life, but our spiritual life. Christ has restored water to its intended purpose by making it holy through his baptism. That's a sign of what? He wants to sanctify every dimension of existence. Father Paul and I are going to come to your homes in the next few weeks. Every Orthodox Christian should have their home, dorm room, apartment, wherever, blessed. We don't care if it's clean or dirty, none of that. And we don't even have time to have dinner with everybody. Just come and we bless and we'll have a cup of tea or not. And just come bring the blessing of God to your homes. And we're going to sprinkle holy water in every room. By the way, people say, Father, don't go into that room, it's dirty. That's like saying, Jesus, don't go to this part of my heart, it's dirty. Yeah, you want it there. So don't be embarrassed. The same priest that hears your confessions isn't going to be ashamed when he sees your dirty room. Let him in there. Let him bless everything so God's blessing can be there. That blessing of every room, it's a sign of God's blessings upon even the smallest details of our lives. It's also a calling to sanctify every aspect of our life. We really compartmentalize, don't we? Church life, worldly life. God time, worldly time. That's very dangerous. The whole idea is not just we pray when we're in church. We bless our cars, our homes. We have icons in our cars. We pray everywhere so we're with Jesus at every moment. So it's more than just getting our house blessed because it's a nice quaint custom. Why do we do that? And our cars blessed? To sanctify every part of our life. And that every dimension of who we are as human beings, every part of your heart, your mind, your brain, those places that you don't let Jesus go. We all have those places, don't we? Right? We repent about certain things, but there's certain thoughts we go, wow, if God knew that, he probably wouldn't like me thinking about that. As if he's not right there. We compartmentalize, right? God wants all of your heart. And if you can't, if that can't stand before God, I always tell my kids, before you do something, ask yourself, God is right here watching, would he be okay with that? It'll keep you from a lot of stupid stuff. Nevertheless, we adults do it all the time. We do things and act ignorant, and we have all these disgusting, sinful thoughts, parts of our life, sinful areas of our life and our mind and hearts that we don't let God go there. And then wonder why we're still sick. Because He's a jealous God and He wants all of your heart. If you're lukewarm, it says in the Scriptures, it says He spits you out. So theophany is about welcoming God who will cleanse you completely. In baptism, if you're not baptized yet. And for those of us who are baptized, infants, adults, renewing it, making your garment white again through confession, through repentance, but not partial, hidden confession. The Lord is no fool. You come to confession to your spiritual father, Father Paul or myself, and we read the prayer over you. It's not a magic wand that washes away everything. It's the grace of God. But if you don't confess everything, if you don't leave certain parts of your hearts not open to Him, they are not healed by voodoo or gonna hocus pocus. No, we leave unhealed and unwashed by the baptism of Christ. So we have to be willing to be very serious. Being a Christian is a radical change. We don't just say, I'm going to go to church and get baptized and be a nice person. No, we're called to be like God, like these saints around us, to participate, the fathers use this word, in His infinite holiness. What, me? Come on, Father Justin, I'm just a normal person. That's precisely the problem. That's the way you justify your sins. That's the way you justify overeating or judging people or arguing. Saying, well, come on, we're just regular people. Regular people are full of sin and death. God was baptized in the Jordan to make us more than regular people, to make us like Him and live forever. So don't sell yourself short as an Orthodox Christian and lower the bar. People often tell me, Father Justin, you and Father Paul, maybe compared to other churches, certainly other Orthodox churches, you raise the bar so high for us. That makes us depressed, makes us feel bad, feels like losers. It's called life for every single one of us. We're not there, but it's good to know where we're going. And all God cares about is that we're on a mission to get there, and we don't justify always being down here in the dumpster. We may be in the dumpster, maybe down in the dregs, in the basement of the house of God. And God's calling you to top floor. He is. Maybe the saints are here, people are here. Who cares? We better be making progress. And what hinders and stunts that progress, brothers and sisters, is that same worldly thinking. Oh, I'm a good person. I don't really need. I do the minimum. I already kind of do that. That's a guarantee that you will stay where you are and be open to the demons. And those parts of your life you don't let God into will fester. And then you'll be sick and come, Father, I'm baptized. I go to confession, you know, I took the box off. I do this. Why am I still depressed? Why don't I feel Christ? Because there's places you're not letting Him go. In this theophany, we have to let Him go. So this theophany, the fathers say, we should become like the water we're going to bless. Let me repeat that. We should become like the water we're about to bless. What does that mean? The water responds to God's blessing. Do you know, there's a funny science. They're finding out that even physical things react to blessings and to prayers and things like that. There's even a study done that the molecular structure of water after the great blessing of water will change. We don't care about that ultimately, but it's true. In Russia, they've tested this. It's not surprising. Have you heard of this guy? It's really funny. I used to think this was so frou-frou. There's a guy, I think he's in Japan or somewhere. He takes water and then he plays classical music. And then he puts like heavy metal. And he notices there's a molecular structural difference in the water itself. And the point being that all of creation, certainly our human hearts, there's a deep effect. The grace of God, beauty has an effect even on physicality. And certainly on our souls. So if the water can receive divine grace, and the reason for that is that we can receive divine grace. We have to respond to Christ's great blessing of the world, not just drink the water, yeah, this is a great feast. No, that we share in His life. Make a promise today that we're going to become more fully who He wants us to be, even though we're far from it. It's not magic, the grace of God. If we don't cooperate with the blessing today, doesn't matter how beautiful the prayers that the grace of God is raining on us, if you don't want it in your heart, it will do squat. Nothing. But if you do, you can become a saint. If you do, there's no passion, no evil, no sin that can't be driven out, no life that can't be rectified and turned into a holy one. If we don't cooperate, the holy water will do us no good. But if we're humble, and if in faith we have a thirst, a deep spiritual thirst, for really having Christ in our everyday life and every part of that heart, even though it's dark, then today when you come forward with faith, with weeping, with tears at the and Holy Communion essentially today, but especially when you receive this holy water today we're all going to receive, then we drink it, and when we're sprinkled with it, it won't just be getting you wet and slaking your physical thirst. It'll fulfill a deep spiritual thirst, the fathers say. It'll nourish us spiritually, just like water when you're in a desert and it falls onto a hot tongue. This Feast of Theophany, what's it all about ultimately? It makes us, it possible for us to quench our thirst for what? Holiness. Every human soul wants holiness. Every human soul wants to know God and to live forever in His kingdom. I spent yesterday with a beautiful woman who's 94 years old, who's kind of a believer, kind of asked me to come over and spend. I spent 3 hours with her talking about God, talking about Christ, talking about the kingdom of God. And 94 years old, you're getting ready. Someone told me in confession this week, they said, I realize we always talk about those who go before us, those who go before us. And the person said, I'm old now. We're going to be those people going before. And whoa, I'm not ready for that. That's crazy. It's reality, though. It's the most guaranteed thing. We're going to die. And as Christians, if we're living with Christ, no fear. Theophany, everything's a feast of Pascha. Christ comes to sanctify us. If we're baptized, if we let Him in every part of our hearts, if we're people of prayer and fasting and receiving Holy Communion and the holy water in our house and our home, and we live the life of the church, we can have tons of suffering, cancer, depression, poverty, all that, no one cares. You're alive in Christ, and when you die, you have a fullness of what you've already tasted. No one can touch you in this life. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ if we acknowledge that what's really happened with our God. But as long as we're just legalists, and as long as we go through the motions, but a large part of our life is left untouched by Christ, then it won't be a revelation. It won't be any kind of epiphany. It won't be God's revelation. Because you know what? Today, if you approach it in the right way, it can be a revelation of God, not just 2,000 years ago, a revelation of God for the first time to you. That God's not a philosophy and idea. Jesus Christ is living and breathing. We say He's in our midst and closer than our own hearts. And the Feast of Theophany is about saying, God, will I let you wash me? He entered the Jordan River, brothers and sisters, and the Jordan River was shocked. The waters turned back. That God so loved this creation, how dirty it was, He would sanctify all of it. How are we going to respond today? I don't know about you, but I need constant remotivation. I'm slothful. I get lost. And the Lord knows that we're so weak. And He gives us these beautiful feasts. And remember, for ancient Christians, this one after Pascha was the next biggest. Why would that be? Because they knew that God so loved the world that He sent His Son as a child. But guess what? Nobody knew about God in Bethlehem. Very few people knew about Him. Theophany marked, at 30 years old, our Lord, now He's on the scene. Now He's known to the world, and that began His 3-year ministry. To say that I've come not to give rules, but to give life and to wash all of you. It's a nice story from 2,000 years ago. It needs to go much deeper than that. And maybe for all of us, maybe Orthodox your whole life. Maybe your first time in Orthodox Church right now, doesn't matter. All of us have to constantly be converting our hearts. Many of the saints in the walls were just nominal Christians. Worldly people, went to church once in a while, and they were struggling like we struggle. But one day, they stood in church, and the feast hit them in their hearts, and they said, I want holiness. I'm hungry for God, and God is there to meet Him. So brothers and sisters, in this feast day, this beautiful feast, 2020, it's unbelievable to even say those words. It's weird to me, 2020. When I was a kid in the 80s, I thought that would be like futuristic robot time, right? It's here, it's now, and we're going to blink our eyes, and we're going to be as those who have gone before us. Our eyes are going to close, and we're going to wake up and face Jesus Christ in the judgment. If we let Him wash us now, if we judge ourselves in this life, then God won't judge us when we die, the Father said. But if we're too lazy, we're too slothful, too caught up with the world, that we won't even take the revelation of God who wants to be a part of our life, be our life, and you can be assured it'll be a fearful thing to die. And it will be a terrible judgment according to the Scriptures. I don't know about you, but I want to judge myself now and receive God's washing, forgiveness, and holy baptism. I run often to my spiritual father in confession. Father Paul runs often to me as a spiritual father in confession. With such humility, it's amazing from a priest. Let us all be this, as brothers and sisters. This water today is a symbol. It's a reality as well. Holy Communion is much stronger, by the way, I have to be clear about that. But take this water today. At the end of the liturgy, we're going to bless it all. Come with tears to communion today. Come with tears and a longing. Put away the self and all the worry. Oh, so many worries and concerns. Put it all away when you approach communion today. When you approach this water, say, God, wash me. But that's not enough. Say, with this water, make a new beginning in me. Sanctify my body and soul. And I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start going to confession. I'm going to even let you into those terrible parts of my heart that I've not let Father Paul into, or Father Justin, or my family. I'm going to let every part be healed. And then paradise opens up in the heart of a person. And what I want to end with is, forgive me for saying so much, this is an awesome feast, is why do we do this ultimately? Just because we're Orthodox and every church in the Orthodox world, millions of people do this? No. Do we do it so that we can bless, okay, all of creation, bless your homes? Yes, that's true. What is the ultimate reason why we breathe and do all the stuff we're doing? I want to share with you, I found this quote, not from 100 years ago or 300 years ago, from the ancient church, one of the ancient church fathers, and it blew my socks off. It's from, let me make sure I have it right, St. Gregory of Nyssa. Of course, he's the brother of St. Basil the Great, an amazing saint. Listen to what he said about baptism. When discussing baptism and spiritual birth, we have to consider what happens to our life after baptism. This is a point which many of those who approach the great grace of baptism neglect. Listen, he says, they delude themselves by being born again in appearance only, and not really. For through birth from above, by Christ's baptism, our own baptism, our life is supposed to change, undergo a change. But if we continue in our present sinful state, then there is really no change in us. Indeed, I do not see how a man who continues to be the same can be considered to become different when you notice no change in him at all. Now, the physically born child certainly bears his parents' resemblance. If you've been born of God in baptism and you become his child, then come on, let your way of life testify to the presence of God within you. Make it clear who your father is to this world. For the very attributes by which we recognize God are the very marks by which a child of his must always reveal his relationship with God. Meaning, when people meet us, me, you, they should see the living Father in us. And if not, something's wrong. The scriptures say, God is goodness, and there is no unrighteousness in him. The Lord is gracious to all, and he loves his enemies. He is merciful and forgives transgressions. These and many other characteristics are revealed by the scriptures, show us what a godly life means. If you are like this, brothers and sisters, and you embody the Spirit of God, then you have genuinely become a child of God. But if you persist in displaying sin, if you persist in displaying evil, then it is useless to talk to others about your birth from above and what a great Orthodox Christian you are. You are still merely a son of man. And not a son of that Most High God. You love lies and vanity, and you are still immersed in the corruptible things of this world. Don't you know in what way a man becomes a child of God? In one way only. In no other way than becoming holy as God is holy. Wow! That's in the 300s, incredible quote. The Lord has given us everything in this church. The Orthodox Church, everything to make us saints, brothers and sisters. Holy Communion, Divine Liturgy, Holy Spiritual Fathers, Priesthood, all the things we need to be saved. Holy Communion, God coming into you. Holy water to sanctify every part of your life. The healing of soul and body. What is there the Lord hasn't given us? And we remain unchanged, he says. It's a scandal to this world that needs Christ so bad. It should be on our faces, in our hands, in our actions. All this grace given to us transforms us and makes us into saints. Forgive me, I expect nothing less from each of us. I expect nothing less from myself. Idiot me, in this new year, I want to become a saint. I want Father Paul to become a saint. The deacons, all of you. People often don't talk like this. And God forgive me, even some Orthodox just say, oh, come on, Father, this is kind of... No. That was St. Gregory of Nyssa in the 300s, and it's been the same. God forgive us if we've gotten complacent and want to check the box off. On this theophany, God wants to reveal himself to you. And when he does, the prayer, the fasting, everything, it fades, and a living Christ is born in you. A living Christ. And then you can't help but change. You can't help but be different because the grace of God is in you. I desire this so deeply for myself and for each of us. May we strive for it. May we strive with the grace of God that is just raining upon us in this holy feast today and tomorrow in Theophany. God help us in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.